It's Thursday, 3rd of September, and you're listening to the Game Grin Grincast. I'm your host, Hamiltonius, and I'm joined by my lovely guests, Ace and Fowler. As we're a bit light on staff this week, this is going to be a mini-cast. So we'll be jumping straight into our main topic, and probably one the guys who are missing would have wanted to get their teeth into, but here it is. I've entitled this one, Nerd Rage, or How I Stopped Hating and Learned to Love Game Reviews. Recently, Mad Max came out for the new gens to general consumer praise and critic praise, but one reviewer on GameSpot, Peter Brown, gave the game 6 out of 10 for disliking certain areas and posted a video online explaining why he gave it that rating. And that video has since received an absolute ton of dislikes and lots of people deriding poor Mr. Brown for his opinion. So people moan when you give them 10 out of 10, people moan when you give them 5 out of 10. So we're here to deconstruct that, so I'll open the floor out to anyone who wants to jump right in.
Anyone at all? People on Twitter currently listen to this.
I was actually just watching through that whole video about explaining everything, and I'd have to say I completely agree after watching, like, the gameplay on Twitch of Mad Max. Like, if some people just too easily accept if the game works, then it should just automatically get a 10 out of 10, is what I see a lot of people thinking.
Yeah, I mean, even if 10 out of 10 is, like, a lot, like, people seem to think, yeah, it's just because the game doesn't have that many bugs, and it came, I mean, people were praising Mad Max for coming out fairly bug and glitch free, but that doesn't mean it should get an automatic, you know, can't drop below 8 because it hasn't got many glitches.
Yeah, and I think, like, with looking at the one of the main detractions from the game was the combat, and it's like, well, I completely agree. I don't know how people are saying, like, could say that the combat's super interesting or anything. It's just button mash. That's all it is.
Have either of you played Mad Max yet?
No.
I have not played it.
I've watched probably about 7 hours worth of content, though. Like, just from various streamers.
I've not played it either, but from what I've seen, it basically looks like Mad Max Arkham Knight.
Yeah, just that, like, bash through your enemies. There's no actual challenge or reward to what you're doing.
Well, to give the, well, I will post the link to the deconstruction of the review in the description for this podcast. But basically, one of the main points that Peter Brown made was what he loved the car combat. He loved the way it looked. He loved the open world. He just didn't like things like he said that the game forces you to do things that you shouldn't have to do. You shouldn't be half forced to do this repetitive counter strike combat that just doesn't feel so out of place in the Mad Max universe as well. Mad Max isn't known as like a hand-to-hand specialist or, you know, someone like Batman who could take on a group of thugs in one go and kill them all easily.
Thunderdome wasn't even much of a melee fight, was it? It was just a lot of bouncing back and forth on that bungee cord until he managed to trick his way to a win.
Exactly. I mean, when I saw it, I thought, you know, it just seems that they were unwilling to take a bit of a risk, because I think what could have worked, and this is my humble opinion, is, you know, Max, although he's a pretty rough and tough guy, you should have to avoid combat and avoid being surrounded all the time, and like your car should be like your saving grace. Like, you should always want to get back to the car to get away or to use it against your enemies, and I think it should be giving you a sort of a feeling that your car is safe and your car is like your home, not you can just get out of the car and just beat the crap out of some guys.
Completely agree.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the opposite with Batman. You know he can get out and beat guys up without his high-tech Batmobile
because he's a superhero.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Mad Max is like, Mad Max is cars. That's what you think of when you think of Mad Max.
Yeah, it's just a guy with a souped-up car.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for fuel.
So, I mean, if we expand this out a bit, I mean, we've had experience on Game Grin of people giving, commenting and saying that we're biased or we're doing hack journalism, most famously being the Our Project Cars review, which I think still has the 1 out of 10. It was 1 out of 10, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. We've had both sides of the coin. I recently wrote a review, or a preview even, for Polybridge, the quite famous now because of Reddit and things, bridge building simulator game that's on Steam. I gave it what would have been probably an 8 out of 10 roughly by saying, like, yeah, I'm really looking forward to when it comes out. It looks really good. First comment I've received was just the word bias in capital letters.
Misspelled.
Yeah, but it seems to be an issue with the gaming audience as a whole. It's like, oh, we wish there was more ethics in video game journalism. Oh, we wish people could be more honest and not give AAA games, like, straight away give them an 8 or a 9 or a 10 because of advertising prices. Someone comes out and actually uses their opinion, uses their ethics, uses their journalistic skills to critique something, and those very same people turn around and say, fuck you, don't mess with my game.
Yeah, because that was their favorite game. It's from their favorite. I find that people that are devoted to a series will take great offense, even if the game is absolutely horrible. There are quite a few people out there that will do that.
Just look at Dom, the regular guest on the podcast, who loves the Assassin's Creed series.
I'm not afraid to say that with Halo, for me even, because I was a big fan of the series, and then after Halo 3, it was all just crap for me. I stopped playing. And I will gladly say that I would have given, I think it was ODST, maybe 5 out of 10. But if I had posted that to GameGrin, I would definitely get a lot of hate from all the Halo fanboys. So I think it's the part of the problem is that you need these people who are very hypersensitive to reviews of their favorite games need to find, if they're not happy with the reviews of that, they need to find the site that they're happy with those kind of reviews and just stick to that.
Yeah. I mean, if they want an honest assessment of a game, then they shouldn't really be looking at video game reviews.
Yeah.
Well, video game reviews anyway.
One of the things that stuck with me from way back was, I still don't remember if you guys ever got a TV show called X-Play, but they did occasional game reviews and stuff like that, and they had given one of my favorite games, Monster Hunter, a 2 out of 5 for the PSP because of the controls. And I remember going through that exact same thing that all these people do, like, oh, how the hell do they give them such a horrible review? And you just kind of have to find the people that, like, the people that are reviewing, you kind of get a feel for what kind of games they enjoy and what kind they don't. And you kind of have to find the right reviewer that you have the same play style or game style with.
Yeah. I mean, another thing I'm not going to speak for every single gaming publication out there, but I know people who do tech reviews, and oftentimes they'll hand out hardware, in that case, to someone who they know will write a review objectively. If the Apple Watch came out, and they came up to me and they were like, Alex, do you want to review the Apple Watch? I'd be like, well, I don't really use Apple products. I'm not a big fan of Apple. They'd probably go, well, in that case, probably give it to someone who knows a bit more about the company. I don't know. I just look at it and I feel so frustrated because people don't realize that game reviews are an opinion at the end of the day. Just because someone doesn't like the game doesn't mean it's rubbish. It's their opinion. They think it's less than great. If you enjoy it, you just shut down the review and continue playing the game.
People write reviews based on their current experience. When The Evil Within came out, we gave it a 5 out of 10 while everyone else was giving it 9s, until, as with Project Cars, people realized, oh, it's actually really not that good.
Yeah, I remember that actually, yeah, because didn't it change that review? Wasn't that the one that changed the whole...
Yeah, we dropped its overall rating.
Yeah, the overall rating for it. Part of the problem too is if you base whether you enjoy the game or whether you want to buy the game or not on one review site, I think you're in the wrong. As well, like, you should read other, like, various people's opinions about the pluses and minuses of it, because some person might just not have liked, well, for example, with Mad Max, I won't enjoy that combat system, but other people might enjoy just pressing a button over and over again to counterattack.
Personally, I would, because I'm terrible at combat.
So you're not a Dark Souls fan, then?
I'd never played them there.
Yeah, I remember the Evil Within thing. We gave it 5 out of 10. Everyone else gave it 9s and 10s. But, like, luckily, and this isn't me sweetening things with our editor, but we've got an editor who stands behind us who says, if you can prove this game is rubbish, then you can post whatever score you like, basically. And it's I think some blame has to be shifted on also the publications as well for ruining the trust that the audience has in them. I can think, I mean, even GameSpot themselves actually had that issue with Jeff Gerstmann in, God, 2011 or 2010, whenever Kane and Lynch 2 came out. People, if I can quickly give the audience a history lesson, basically Jeff Gerstmann, who now runs Giant Bomb, used to work for GameSpot, reviewed Kane and Lynch 2, gave it a 4 out of 10 or something low. GameSpot said, "There are major advertisers, you've got to give them a higher score than that." He said no, so they fired him.
Wow.
And it's cases like that that lower trust in the major publications. I mean, people always say that there's that old joke, isn't there? IGN, no matter how crap the game is, 11 out of 10 game of the year, depending on how much cash they're given.
Yeah. That's what I've actually always liked as well, is that, like, with us, I mean, how many bad reviews have we given Ubisoft's games? And, I mean, they're still sending us codes. So they know that they've made a crap game. It's when companies like that decide to be like, okay, we'll follow the peer pressure from companies that say, give our game a good review, or we're never giving you one again. That's kind of garbage.
We actually have, full disclosure, we have been asked, I won't specify, one game we were requested to change the score, and our editor just said, no, it's a terrible game. That's the score it deserves. That's the score we're giving it.
So there you go. Wow. I mean, you're already listening to the Game Grin podcast, but we thought we'd chuck in some extra plugs there as well, just to keep you loyal.
See, that I don't understand that. To me, that if someone says your game is crap, would you not be like, what? So I've obviously done something wrong. I should go back and maybe fix some things, or next time I make a game, improve on the things that they criticized, instead of, can you just give us a better rating because?
I mean, there are plenty of big games that are coming out in the future. I mean, I very much doubt if a game like Fallout 4 came out and there were 10 out of 10s across the board, and then someone dared to come out and say, actually, I think this game's a bug-ridden mess, which in some cases Bethesda games have started out as. I've no doubt there would be pitchforks and flaming torches headed their way within minutes.
I'm sure there would be.
It's an inflated sense of fanboyism is what it is, really.
I'm really afraid for when we have to review The Division. That is one of the games I feel like is going to be one of those fanboy hating on, even if the game isn't good. So,
well,
yeah.
There's loads of AAA titles that could that will attract the fanboys and get vitriolic response if any bad words are shed about them.
For example, saying anything bad about Assassin's Creed, I'm sure one of us will wake up with a Ubisoft blanket wrapped around our head.
Yeah, well, that entirely depends on the developers, doesn't it? I mean, it's the same. Like I said, it's the same fanboyism that makes people choose Xbox over PlayStation. I mean, if I think people take things far too personally. Like if I bought Fallout 4 and I loved it, and I loved the Fallout franchise anyway. If I bought Fallout 4 and I was playing it and I enjoyed it, and everyone was saying this. The viewers were saying, oh, this game is crap, it's a bug-ridden mess. But for me, I was like, oh, I'm still enjoying it. I don't care if this guy gives it a 7 out of 10. I'm still enjoying it. Like, I love the Dynasty Warriors series, and that continually gets 4 or 5 out of 10. And I still play them. I still chuck in loads of hours into them. I don't give a crap.
The hard part can be playing a game and keeping your own biases neutral. For instance, if we asked Dom to review the next Assassin's Creed, it wouldn't get a 6.5 like Unity, because he's a big fan of the series.
Or if we got you to review a card game, Ace?
That's going to get a 1.
Yeah. That's the other problem as well, right? Yeah, like some people just don't enjoy certain types of games, but are forced, like we've had games where we've had to review them and they're not our type of game. And it is really hard to put that bias aside that I don't like this style of game.
The two latest card games that I reviewed, I gave quite fair scores to. They weren't buggy. They worked exactly as they should. and under our guidelines for reviews, they met the scores. I think one was an 8 and one was a 7.
Did you have trouble putting those biases aside, though?
No. After you've been at this a little while, you learn to put them aside, because I can't give a, I couldn't have given Scrolls a 1 out of 10, because it was a pretty good game.
It was a lovely game.
It wasn't my cup of tea, but it, as a game, it was perfectly adequate.
So now I wonder if some company, like I do actually enjoy using our guideline system now for ratings, because it actually does make it easier to put yourself in this perspective of the actual game itself, not what type of game it is.
Yeah, for instance, you might want to give a game a 1 out of 10, but if you're going by our guidelines, it has to be literally unplayable for a 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
I know in one case we've had to convince a writer to bump up to 2 because the game worked and it wasn't full of bugs, but it did meet the low standards of a 2.
That wasn't me, was it?
I don't think so, no.
It's one of those things. It's without trying to sound pretentious, it's one of those skills as a journalist that you need to like hone, is to put, like Fowler said earlier, to put those biases aside and look at a game from outside. And it's in those cases where, I mean, perhaps there could be an argument that Peter Brown, to be fair, full disclosure for him, he did in the video, he said, "I don't like the Arkham style combat. That's why I didn't like the combat in Mad Max." But just because someone doesn't like something doesn't mean they're wrong. And I can entirely see his point, because I think that style of combat, which started, if we want to go all the way back with Assassin's Creed, is very stale by now. I mean, I don't like using it.
I think that's the problem, though. We've got used to referring to Ubisoft style games where you have to climb things and clear bases and all that. But now that a lot of Warner Brothers games are doing that, such as Arkham Knight, Shadows of Mordor, and now Mad Max, they've got their own Ubisoft style of game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's also, just because it works in one game does not mean it will work in another, which people need to realise. I mean, you can look at Shadow of Mordor, okay, the combat sort of made sense. I'm not slating the combat entirely, but I mean it does throw things in your way. I mean, you can't just counter block. But then oftentimes you'll get an upgrade that negates that barrier. You know, our guy with a shield. Oh, here's an upgrade that lets you vault over the guy with the shield. Things like that. But I think at the end of the day, like, Mad Max got a 6 out of 10 from GameSpot because in the reviewer's opinion it wasn't good enough. And I think people need to take that on board. And I mean, like you said earlier, they need to look down a list of reviews and don't just look at the 6 out of 10 that GameSpot gave it and say, "Oh, well, either it's crap, so I won't play it, or it's great, I can't believe they gave it a 6 out of 10. Taking like the hot, this is why things like Metacritic and such are good barometers for how good a game is, because you can't just take one person's view of a game and then just take it as gospel.
No.
Yeah. I think another problem is some people don't even actually read the reviewer's reasons for it. They'll just see the number and be like, "Nope, not dealing with that." I know there are tons of examples of that.
Especially with sites that publish the review score at the top.
Oh, yeah.
Which people see the number, scroll right past all of the text, and then go straight to the comments to have a go.
I mean, you can't base your review off that, or like your opinion off just a score.
I don't understand why some people don't see a score. "Oh, we got a 2 out of 10. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Let me read the reasons. "Oh, no, you can't. I'm such a fan of Transformers. Why did you give it 2 out of 10?
I feel like that's from a past experience or something, Ace.
Shut up.
But no, I totally agree.
But it's also There are parts of games that people need to recognize are flawed. And there's no game's perfect. Although to be fair, I've yet to play Metal Gear Solid: The Phantom Pain. I can't see why people can't play Mad Max and say the driving's awesome, the open world's awesome. And yeah, the combat is the same as the other games. Maybe that could be, you know, maybe I can see why he's going on about. Instead, they just go, car's awesome, open world's awesome, game's awesome. Shut up, your opinion doesn't matter, because if I shout loud enough, then I'll convince you.
Yeah.
Loudest voice is not always right.
Exactly.
No, definitely not.
And then, of course, the people who are actually trying to engage with the review, those who, for example, on the YouTube video, who are commenting to say, I disagree with you, here are the reasons why, are being drowned out by all the people who are just saying, fuck you, you know.
The usual YouTube spam.
Yeah, exactly. And the GameSpot gives shit reviews, they obviously didn't get paid enough, things like that.
And that could be part of the problem as well, is people don't know, that it's like you've said before, they have no idea what's actually going on in the background, whether companies are paying out money for a high review, or if people are just pissed off at that company and decide to give it a bad review. It's the internet, so they're very untrustworthy in the start.
Yeah. Well, and to bring it onto a more soppy human level as well, people need to realize that the guys that they're slating and calling awful and hack journalists and clickbait whores and things like that are just people. At the end of the day, we put this game into a computer and the computer said this is how good this game is. It's someone who has played through it and giving, like, pouring out their thoughts and experiences in the game to try and help you make a decision about whether to buy the game or not, and to help you get an idea of what the game's like before you sink 50 quid down the toilet. But people seem to be losing sight of that a little bit. Perhaps as bylines get smaller and smaller and smaller, and the reviewer's name doesn't quite matter so much. It's more about the publication than it is the reviewer sometimes these days.
Unfortunately, yes.
And we all do take it to heart. I read every single comment, and I hate you all.
That's because you write clickbait.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I put up that DayZ article, I ended up getting a lot of flack for people saying, oh, well, it's early access and stuff like that. And it's like, well, I get that it's early access, but I'm just expressing my opinion that I feel like the progress made so far is not enough. But people just don't understand that. They don't understand that's an opinion.
Yeah, that's right. If people don't like your opinion, then there's plenty of other opinions on the internet. You could watch a Let's Play.
Yeah.
You could watch someone stream it on Twitch. You don't have to go by any site's score, if that's all you're going to go by.
At the end of the day, everyone's going to have different opinions on everything. You're not going to find someone who... You can't walk down the street saying, oh, I fucking love Mad Max, pointing at some guy and be like, do you love Mad Max? And him just go straight away, yeah, I fucking love Mad Max. And then for the next 50 people down the road, every single person is so enthusiastic about it. You're going to catch one person who's going to go, oh, not really. And then what are you going to do? Hit him over the head or something?
Let's get him, boys!
Exactly. This person has a different opinion to me, therefore they must die. That's far too close to branching into politics and society, I think, with that one.
Yeah, that's something you don't want to touch on.
Yes. Coincidentally, if you disagree with anything we said in this podcast, feel free to put a comment down there and we'll most probably reply. We promise not to be mean. Well, I promise not to be mean.
Almost promise.
Yeah. And we do reply to our comments on here as well, which is something that you don't often see. Like with the Project Cars review, our reviewer replied to pretty much every single comment that was leveled at him with reasoned arguments. We can't say it helped a lot. Sort of a bit more like, it's like yelling at the clouds, really, to be honest.
How can you yell at clouds? They're fluffy.
Yeah, who can be cross at clouds?
The point being that it's useless.
No.
Yeah.
Stop making a point. We're having a go at you now.
See, because I don't like clouds.
Yeah. You gave clouds a 5 out of 10.
Now, Dark Cloud, that was a good game.
I've never played that, actually.
I actually been meaning to go back and play it on my emulator. I mean PS2 that I still have legally.
Isn't there like a law on it that if you've actually bought it, then like previously bought it, or do you have to actually still own it? Like, own a hard copy? Like, with ROMs and stuff, it was just afterthought there. If you've bought the game, then are you, like, if you buy a, or download a ROM afterwards, do you have to be in possession of the original copy still, or?
What, to play it?
I don't get that. Yeah.
No.
No, legally, though.
Oh, I think that's the same kind of argument as saying if I downloaded an album, if I pirated a music album and I had the album in my on my shelves, is that legal?
That is illegal in the UK.
Huh.
But they changed the law to say that it wasn't illegal to rip your own CDs, but then they changed it back recently. So it is now illegal to rip your own CDs.
Jesus.
Wait, so you can't make mixtapes anymore?
Nope.
Oh man, what am I going to get my girlfriend for our anniversary?
Something that isn't an archaic format, I imagine.
Ugh, that requires forethought and planning and being a good boyfriend.
And caring.
I am none of those things.
And not buying Metal Gear Solid V.
Well, I could always get her that.
I want it so much.
Yeah, at least you didn't pre-order it.
Phantom Pain. Play
it. Phantom Pain and then... No, just give it to her and then she'll be like, I don't want this. Oh, I'll take it.
I'll take it and I'll give you a... Oh, here's a mix CD I made just in case you didn't like it. have we got someone reviewing Metal Gear Solid, by the way?
No, we've been unable to get hold of a copy as yet.
Curse you, Konami. Too busy firing people.
Yes. We do have someone on Mad Max, though.
Ooh.
And it's our very own Cal, who's not here today.
Who has...
too busy playing it.
Who is too busy playing it and probably missed out a pod that was designed for him, to be honest. I'm sure he'll
actually, let me see if he's playing it right now. No, he's smart. He's appearing offline.
I see. Well, that's something to look forward to, listeners. And with that, I think we've come rather smugly to the end of this mini-cast. I'm sorry if you were expecting another 15 to 20 minutes of content, but because there's so few of us, there'd be a lot of long pauses, awkward silences, and sexual tension. So with that, I am going to be leaving you, and so will be Fowler and Ace. You've been listening to the Game Grin Grincast. You can find Game Grin at www.gamegrin.com, which you should already know since you should be listening to it on gamegrin.com. You can find us on Twitter at GameGrin. You can find us on Facebook, just search Game Grin. You can find us on YouTube, again, under the name Game Grin. And don't forget that Game Grin's sister company, Game On, also does a whole range of gaming magazines throughout the year that can be read.
I'd just like to add that pretty soon we will be on iTunes. They are currently reviewing our podcasts.
Fantastic. You'll soon be able to find us on iTunes. And I think that's it. So thanks for listening, everyone. Hopefully next week we'll be back with a full podcast for your listening pleasure. Remember to leave us comments if you liked anything we said, disliked anything we said, or if you have any questions which you want us to answer next week. So until then, guys, game on.